You're listening to The Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema.
I'm back with yet another review from the Toronto International Film Festival. This time, I went at 9 o'clock in the morning to see a kung fu action film called The Legend of the Fist, The Return of Chen Zhen. It was directed by Andrew Lau of Infernal Affairs fame and starring Donnie Yen, who I believe Donnie Yen and Anthony Wong, who I'm sure everyone out there who listens to GGTMC would know who they are. And it's another retelling of Chen Zhen is the main character in both Fist of Fury with Bruce Lee. And is it Legend of the Fist or Fist of Legend? Fist of Legend, because this is Legend of the Fist with Jet Li. Both superior films to this one. But whereas those films are very serious-minded, maybe not, you know, serious to the point of, like, Jean de Florette, but, you know, serious enough. This movie is not. As I said, I went to see it at 9 in the morning, and I was supposed to see it with Big Willie, who unfortunately wasn't feeling well. So on top of that, this is one of the few movies I actually looked into the reviews before I went and saw it, and nary a good word was being said about it. It was just all over the place, like, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. So all those things combined, I really wasn't looking forward to this movie not at all, but I really was expecting, all right, this isn't going to be that great. Those low expectations saved the movie for me, I can tell you that right there. I wound up enjoying it. This is a perfect movie for 9 in the morning on a Saturday. I was definitely tired, and the movie had more than enough action and almost bizarreness to keep me more than occupied. Let's go to the plot summary. Oh, it's a big one. So, 7 years after the apparent death of Chen Zhen, who was shot after discovering who was responsible for his teacher's death in Japanese-occupied Shanghai, a mysterious stranger arrives from overseas and befriends a local mafia boss. That mysterious stranger being Donnie Yen, wearing a mustache that, very, very nice mustache, pencil-thin mustache sort of thing. That man is a disguised Chen Zhen who intends to infiltrate the mob when they form an alliance with the Japanese, disguising himself as a caped fighter by night. Not so much caped, Kato'd fighter. He wore the Kato outfit. Chen intends to take out everyone involved as well as get his hands on an assassination list prepared by the Japanese. And, yeah, that's a good plot summary. I have to remember not to read the plot summary for my joy later because it's the end of the movie. Gotta love IMDb. I read that before going to see the movie, so wasn't too pleased. I love Andrew Lau. I think the Infernal Affairs trilogy, that was what I was hoping would win the for 100th GGTMC episode. I was rooting for that one. I think there's a lot going on in those movies, plus they're very exciting, very tightly made and paced crime films. So I was very, I don't know if I've ever seen him do a historical martial arts picture. So I was really looking forward to seeing that, along with Donnie Yen, who I believe Will and Rick have done Killzone, a.k.a. SPL. Maybe, have they done another one? But I don't think they have, but he's always fun in whatever he happens to be in. So the combination of them and then Anthony Wong, how could I go wrong? I got a much different picture than I expected, almost something edited the way a Benny Chan movie, who's Invisible Touch, and Dragon Squad, I believe, is the American name for it. It was much more in line with Dragon Tiger Gate and Invisible Target. Did I say Invisible Touch? Because that's a Genesis song. I don't think any of the people involved in this had anything to do with that. Oddly enough, when I was going in, we have a show in Canada called Dragon's Den. I think they have it in the States called Shark Tank, and it's people going and with inventions and trying to sell them to these businessmen. And there's the heel of the businessman. He's a balder guy. I can't remember his name. I really should have looked it up. But he's always the one who tells the contestants, inventors, the hard facts. And he's always played, you know, he's an asshole. And I actually saw him going in line in this movie, and it was kind of funny to see a guy who plays a heel on a show going to see a kung fu film at 9 a.m. You know, I gained a lot of respect for him, and, you know, he was dressed in his regular attire, and it makes you kind of realize that, yeah, I'm sure anyone who watches that show goes, oh, he's an asshole, but really, he's an asshole for 25 minutes, so it's all we really know, so who knows? Anyone who likes kung fu films, I can't hate him too much. And I have to pause. Doesn't seem like it's an Uncool Cat podcast unless there's an interruption. Commissioner needed me. They have this light they shine in the sky, and I have to go meet the commissioner on a rooftop. I was looking forward to this historical martial arts picture, but the one thing I didn't expect, and maybe it's just because I'm so used to Donnie Yen being more punchy, kicky than wuxia, was a lot of high-flying fantasy-type fight scenes as opposed to the SPL, Flashpoint-type fight scenes that I was kind of growing used to seeing, even though Dragon Tiger Gate and stuff like that. But one of the main things I'd heard as well is, it starts off with the Chinese sort of doing the grunt work for the French during the war, and it has this pulpy, and yeah, I think the thing I enjoyed most about the film is that it's like a pulpy, over-edited, nationalistic melodrama. If you're not Chinese, you're probably scum. We have this war scene and the French retreat, as they've been known to do, and the Chinese are left holding their what-have-yous in their hands. And the odds are looking pretty bad against him. And Chen Zhen, after one of his buddies gets hurt, or maybe a little more than hurt, I don't want to give too much away, but Chen Zhen is sprung into action, and you think, okay, well, how's Donnie Yen going to help them? They're hopelessly outnumbered, and it seems very unlikely that one man can take on the German army. And in most cases, that would be true. But this is a wuxia film, so he swings into action and, without much problem, takes out the whole German army and saves the day and becomes a national hero. I don't know if this is Andrew Lau, sort of mixing the mythology along with the historical drama. But at 9 a.m, I gotta say, I knew, okay, all right, I don't think I'm gonna be bored during this picture, and I wasn't for 1 second, so that was very, very nice, and that was very unexpected. There's been a lot of complaints. Donnie Yen, in the first scene, he's wearing a hat that covers a lot of his face when it's a lot of the jumping, somersaults, and stuff like that. Later, he's wearing a Kato mask. A lot of speculation that there's a body double. I think without question, there's a body double. But kind of knowing that going into it, I wasn't that upset. And also, I'm not used to Donnie Yen being wuxia. I'm used to Donnie Yen not having body doubles in stuff like SPL, Flashpoint, all the stuff I've mentioned. And I remember when Jackie Chan did Tuxedo, and for insurance purposes, he had to get a body double as well, which it seems like in China, they don't really care as much. And yeah, one of the reasons you go see a Jackie Chan movie is his acrobatics. So the acrobatics being doubled didn't really bother me that much with Donnie Yen. I don't know, maybe I'm not as watched in Donnie Yen stuff, but I've mostly known him as a fighter, not as an acrobat. So it didn't bother me that much. Of course, it would have been nice if he could have done it, but who knows, maybe he just can't. So my next note here is, one of my problems with the movie, and this is what makes it more of a superhero movie and a mediocre superhero movie rather than a, you know, very dramatic one, is with the exception of one character, everyone who starts this movie is the exact same person they are when the movie ends. There's really no growth, no arc for any of the characters. Anthony Wong's always reliable, but he just, you know, he comes up. Of course, they have little shifts, and maybe they become a bit more honorable or something, but yeah, there's no real change through the course of the film with any of the characters. So I can't say that was disappointing. I didn't expect to be watching a character drama anyway, but it was sort of Donnie Yen starts the hero, ends this hero. Anthony Wong starts the sort of rich business owner with a, you know, a good heart and ends that way. And most of the people do end in the exact same way. And even the one character who is, there's something revealed about them, they still are essentially the same person, in spirit anyway. Though it's edited, the whole movie's over edited. It is, and that's maybe why I refer to or compare to a Benny Chan film. I at 9 a.m, that's kind of, it kind of worked for me. And yeah, I think with the body double, and I could imagine hardcore Donnie Yen fans going through the film being pretty disappointed. With, it seems like you don't know what's him, what's not him. There's little moments that, it seems, like, oh, there's him punching someone, but then, you know, someone else does a flip because he's disguised. And the escalating fight scenes, the first one's pretty fun and very pulpy and very batshit crazy. The second one, where it's, Donnie Yen dressed as in a Kato outfit, is fun, definitely. There's a cop in the movie too, who is played almost, he reminded me a bit of the cop in Exiled, the one who keeps pulling up to these, the gangsters ready to have a shootout and sort of backs away slowly. This guy's a coward as well, but there's more revealed about him and stuff. He is sort of the kind of, I know Will isn't a big fan of this, I wouldn't so much say broad humor, but a lot of his humor is very, maybe not broad, but silly. The violence in the film is also what kind of won my heart. I think I mentioned in the plot synopsis, the Japanese put out an assassination list, and some of these assassinations are pretty fantastic, to say the least. There's some very, very spectacular deaths in it, and that was nice to see. The nationalism, I gotta say, for the most part, you know, it's always hard, even though, you know, for example, Germans being called, I'm not even gonna say it, the K word, when referring to them, and I know it's historically accurate and stuff, but still, when you hear just, derogatory names, hurtful names slung about, even in a historical term, you kind of have to get used to it. And with a film this nationalistic, you almost wonder if they still have those. I shouldn't even say that, but, you know, you almost worry. I imagine the audience would think, like, I hope that's not how they really think about these other countries. If they still hold a grudge against Japan, if they still hold a grudge against Europe, you know, certainly they have a right to hold a grudge, but for a good movie about, you know, sort of history, feeling guilt for historical reasons, is Executive Koala, where there's always, anyone who kind of knows about the Japanese occupying Korea. There's a lot of bitterness towards that, and some might even say hatred. And Executive Koala is about a koala who he doesn't know whether he did something or not. And a Korean, is it a Korean panda or something? And it's live action, by the way. A Korean panda hates a koala for some sin he's done in the past. And it is really all about nationalism. It is all about not forgiving people. Like, I was talking to a friend today who was saying, oh, it's kind of like the natives, the aboriginal in North America, which I don't know so much so, and this is might be me being dumb and I shouldn't even be saying this, but, you know, we still do, like with the Aboriginal, we're still here. Whereas in Korea and China and a lot of these places that have had bad blood in the past. I think Executive Koala is trying to say, let's mend that. Let's work on mending that. And I think that's admirable. And I think a lot of times when I hear these kind of movies that are very nationalistic, and I think that was a problem some people had with The Patriot and stuff like that with Britain, is they kind of seem hateful in the present too. And this definitely has that feeling, but it's so silly. I don't think anyone who goes in there, an open-minded, nice person, is going to leave thinking like, oh man, those Japanese and Europeans are just terrible, terrible people. So I am going to move on to, I think that's all I have to mention. I think so. So I'm going to move on to my make or break, which was the violence and the overall the assassinations and stuff like that. I really liked that scene. I was enjoying the fight scenes for what they were, which is not cream of the crop. They're just fun little fight scenes that I can see hardcore martial arts fans saying, you know, it's cut too quick, and I complain about that enough too. It's that, you know, it's cut too quick, you can't tell what's going on and this and that. And maybe it was just that ready to be disappointed feeling I had, but in the end they didn't bother me that much. They were fun. The quick editing, the musical numbers, because a lot of it takes place in Anthony Wong's club. The just frenetic editing, the Donnie Yen being the sort of spy / martial arts legend, the eventual end conflict with the Japanese leader and Donnie Yen's character. All of it's, you know, a great rainy day film. I guess that would be... I totally went into my MBT more or less when I should have been talking about my make or break. The assassinations. There's a lot of mean-spirited stuff. And I would almost say the violence, not just the assassinations, because... some of the punches, when it shows the people getting punched in the face, it's like close-ups, and you see that punch happen, and the violence definitely was my make or break. I think that made the film but I guess also my MVT could also be considered my make or break, which is the pulpiness. Had this been a serious-minded film, it probably would have dropped down even a couple more points for me. Since it wasn't, it was sort of, you could see Andy Lau, Andrew Lau was having fun, Donnie Yen was having fun, it just seemed like, wasn't so much aspiring to be the rebel, that Vietnamese film, it was more aspiring to be, an invisible target or something like that. So the pulpiness and the fact that it would work well on a rainy Sunday, just slap this in and you're gonna be entertained. The pulpiness is my MVT. My score, actually talking about it, I have a tendency to do this. I guess this is a habit. I moved it up 0.25. It's a 6.25. I could watch this again. I could definitely sit down and enjoy this again. It's not one I'm going to rush out. It's not one I'm waiting for the DVD on, you know, with bated breath. It's definitely one that if I did have on DVD or someone had on DVD and we watched it, I wouldn't throw down my cane and... cane? I was thinking top hat and cane. Throw down my top hat, let's say, and leave. I would stay and watch it with my top hat and cane. What a strange thing to say. Okay, so until next time, keeping the uncool and uncool cat alive, adios.
Thanks for listening. You can find the gentleman at ggtmc.com. You can call the gentleman at 206-666-5207. And you can email the gentleman at midnightcinema@gmail.com.